Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Welcome to the show. It is Reese on the radio, live on blogtalkradio.com. 1 minute after the hour on this, the day of my Lord, Ronald Reagan, June 5th, 2012.
Oh, Lord.
Everybody's wondering what the heck I mean by that. That's right. Today is the day I lost my grandpapa, my personal grandpapa, Ronald Reagan. In 2004, June 5th is the day that he died. He was born on February 6th. In 2000, yeah, that's right. You didn't know that? Yeah, February 6th.
I didn't say that I didn't know that. Yeah, I'm just like in another world.
Anyway.
Okay.
He was born on February 6th, 1911, and died on June 5th, 2004. He's the day of my Lord, my grandpapa. I call him affectionately my grandpapa, Ronald Reagan. But I got more important issues to deal with today. We've been promoting this all day, and we are lucky to have this man on the show tonight. We couldn't get any lucky.
You know it's hard out here for a pimp, you know, when he's trying to get this money for the friend, you know, but a Cadillac and gas money spent, you know, will cause a whole lot of different type of shit.
That's right. Pimp Daddy himself, because I love this man, and we are going to promote anything and everything he is doing. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue.
That's okay! I'm glad you're laughing.
I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone, Mr. Michael Lohan. Now, listen, I always refer to everyone by their last name. I always call them Mr. Lohan or Mr.
Nah,
Smith.
No, it's Michael. That's it.
Okay, good. As long as you and I could call you Michael. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the he's actor himself. He is what I consider the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. This is going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. We've got you for an hour, and we appreciate you spending that much time with us. We are going to try to fill this up with everything that we possibly can. So let's more importantly talk about you, and then we'll get into the other stuff, because you know people want to ask about your daughter. They have to ask. We're going to ask you questions that people like Ryan Seacrest, people like Mark Levin, they don't ask you. We're going to ask you real good questions, you know, because I got to tell you some things that I personally feel about the way that they treat your daughter and the way they treat you. And we'll get into that. Most importantly, you've got a substance awareness program that is substance abuse awareness program that you're promoting. Tell us a little bit about that and how you got involved in it, because I know if I'm correct here, you've had some issues with this.
Well, yeah, I did back when I worked on Wall Street a number of years ago, and then I relapsed back in the early 90s, and I relapsed again in 2004, and from then on it's been all uphill. But it's not a matter of substance abuse awareness. I do interventions now for a number of drug rehabs, specifically one called G&G Holistic down here in Florida in Aventura. And there's just so many things that have come up in recent months with regard to the pill mills down here and relapses so early, and the way these doctors down here are so free with their hand to write a prescription. And it's we could go on for hours and hours. But something has to be done with the way programs are run, mm-hmm. because kids are relapsing as soon as they get out. The reason why is because most of the rehabs in the country put kids on prescription meds, but they're non-narcotic, and the kids get addicted to that. They can't get off, and as soon as they get out, they can't afford to go, you know, do their insurance anymore, because insurance only covers months of rehab. After that, they get out and they need their medication and they can't afford it, so they go back to illicit drugs or illegal drugs. And it's a round robin kind of thing, and it's getting worse and worse.
Now, in your experience in this, let me ask you a question, because I've been promoting this for some years now. I believe in good mental health. I believe that that's very important. And your cause talks about how there's a substance abuse problem with prescription drugs. Do you believe that, and you pretty much said it yourself, so I'm asking you a question I think that you can clear up for me. Are you saying that there's more of an advocacy by these doctors to give you prescriptions for your issues and not good mental health? In other words, seeing a psychologist or a psychiatrist, do you believe that that's sort of the dichotomy here?
Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head, because, I mean, for the most part, people use drugs. They use alcohol or drugs to numb their sorrow and drown their sorrow and numb their pain. It's a traumatic moment in their life that they're trying to hide, or they're trying to get away from or mask. Right. And most of the time, I mean, they'll start using illegal drugs, illicit drugs at the beginning, and then they'll go into a drug rehab, and then these people get a hold of them, and they'll say, okay, it's not a matter of using illegal drugs. You have a bipolar disorder or an anxiety or a depression disorder, and we have to treat it with medication. That makes them worse. You're just masking the problem. Instead of addressing the trauma, like you said, the mental part of this, the psychological part of it. And until you can identify the trauma, that one thing that flipped the switch for addiction to kick in, you're not going to address anything. You're not going to fix anything. And
right.
Let's not forget, alcoholism and drug addiction is a disease that doesn't have a cure. You can learn to live with it, you can deal with it, and you can manage it, but you'll never cure it. Unlike cancer, unlike heart disease, MS, and a lot of other diseases out there that you can cure, are curable, drug addiction and alcohol addiction cannot be cured. So, you know, people make fun of people with drug addicts and people with addiction problems. Do they make fun of people that have cancer or heart disease? No, of course not. They're both diseases, though. So why are they so hard on people that have addiction? And if you really want to look at it, Reese, I bet you and everyone listening right now that if you look at your own family, that there is someone in your family tree that has a drug or alcohol problem.
Right.
There's somebody in. So no one has the right to point the finger. And the problem is this: you can have a mother and a father that are both addicts, or an alcoholic and an addict, and they can have five kids, and only one of the kids out of the five will have a drug or alcohol problem, or maybe none will, or maybe three will. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
The reason is that there's traumatic moments in everyone's life. But there's one really traumatic moment that will affect them in a way where they do flip the switch in their life and they do have to run from it. So some kids can handle it, some kids can't. And for my own family members, I mean for myself, for Lindsay, I can only speak for us, is you know, for Lindsay, it was a divorce. When my ex-wife and I got divorced, it hit her really hard. And you can tell by, you know, by a timeline that she never had a problem. You never heard a bad thing up until the divorce. After that, everything went to hell. And, you know, it's just, thank God she finally got it right. She's doing better than ever now. She's back on, you know, she's back on an upswing, and I'm really proud of her. But it's a long road, and it's something we have to deal with for the rest of our lives.
Right. Now, tell me a little bit about this Saturday Night Live miscommunication. I want to talk about that because I heard a little bit about it today. It was a comment that you made that I guess was misinterpreted or was taken out of context. I'd like to give you an opportunity to address that. But before you do that, I want to say one thing about what you just said about the drugs, like drugs and alcohol versus cancer and MS and stuff like that. I think the problem that people have, you'll agree with this, I know you will, is that the reason why people separate the two and can't associate them with the disease is because cancer is not something that you go to a store or go to a dealer and pick up. You see what I'm saying? Like you can't buy cancer. You know what I mean? So
no,
that's why people are saying they believe that cancer, MS, leukemia, stuff like that, those are diseases that happen to you. So drugs and alcohol, because it's something that you actively participate in, that's the reason why they can't call it or they refuse to call it a disease. You're willing to agree with that?
Well, to an extent. What you're saying is, understand this, that alcohol, cancer and heart disease are a disease, and they treat it with different kinds of chemicals or medications.
Right.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a disease in itself. You don't go to a drugstore to get these things. You go to a drugstore, to the local dealer on the corner, to get the cure for your disease. So it's the same exact thing. The disease is the disease. That's the platform. That's the seed. That's where it starts.
Okay.
So you don't go and buy a disease. I mean,
you're saying the disease is what's sort of innate inside of you to want that drug. Okay, no, that makes sense. I'm glad that you cleared that up. So let's get to the Saturday Night Live thing. What happened, and how did this turn into this miscommunication or this, I guess, out-of-context comment? Can you break it down from the beginning to where it is now?
Sure, Reese, and I'm glad you asked. Number one, it was a miscommunication. It wasn't something taken out of context. It was just plain old – it was a twist of my statement just to cause controversy. Number one is when this website, CelebrityVIPLounge.com, asked me about Lindsay using prescription drugs, so on and so forth, I said in the past when she was – I said I have an issue with rehabs because when Lindsay first went into rehab, she wasn't on any medication. She went in to get better. She went to get off, you know, drinking and cocaine, whatever she was using. And when she came out, they had her on prescription drugs. And I said, I have a real big problem with that.
Right.
Because then they become addicted to prescription drugs. And at the time, they were giving people Adderall and you know, all different kinds of Ambien, things like that, which are benzodiazepines, which are worse than anything out there. They're the hardest to detox from, even worse than heroin. And the most dangerous because you can seizure and die. But anyway, so they asked me about this, and I said, I have a real problem with it. And they said, well, how do you feel about her? Do you think she was on drugs when she did Saturday Night Live? I said, absolutely not. I said, in the past, she was on medication, even on narcotic medication, she was very flat. But as you could tell in Saturday Night Live, and then after that, even Glee, she was getting better and better. So they took that, put a twist on it, and it was out there only on this one little website. And I hate to say this, but my ex-wife got a hold of it and got it to Rob Shooter at Huffington Post that has Naughty But Nice Rob. And before you knew it, because he's with Huffington Post, it became viral. They're part of AOL. And then it was all over the place. And my daughter called me up and said, Dad, are you serious? Did you say this? And I said, absolutely not, Lindsay. I said, look at what happened. I explained to her. She checked into it. And she knows I didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just horrible because, you know, and my ex-wife should be happy that we're creating awareness for kids and trying to do something to stop kids from going through the same thing our own child and even we went through. And Dina battles a battle herself, but she won't admit it. Hopefully someday she'll come to realize it and say, you know what, I have a problem too, but that's on her own terms. But, you know, you have to – you don't do things and drive a wedge between your kids to alienate them just because Lindsay and I are so close again. I mean, this is something that, that's one thing that parents need to stop doing. If you go through a divorce, at least do it between the two of you. If you have any indifference, keep the kids out of it, because you're only going to hurt them. You will destroy their lives. And, you know, when you get the kids involved and, you know, play one end against the other and you use them as pawns, you're really taking a part of their life away, and it's not right.
I hear you loud and clear. And, look, I got to be straight with you, Michael. The truth of the matter is that, look, I've not said this publicly, and a lot of my people know this on the show. I'm not a fan of Venom, man. I'm not. I'm not a fan, and let me tell you why. And I'm not saying that because you're here, and because you're on the show. But let me explain to you why, and I have to explain to you why. I don't like the idea, and I've even criticized you for this in many occasions. I don't like the idea that Dina is becoming the surrogate celebrity because of Lindsay, if you get my meaning. You know, because you've been... I admit, sometimes embarrassingly honest. And I give you credit for that, because the truth should be what it is. If it's hard to watch, if it's difficult to watch, you bring it out there. You've been probably the rawest nerve or the rawest about what's going on in your life. Where Dina, on the other hand, is trying to swing it a certain way and spin it a certain way. This is why I'm not a fan, because I don't trust her honesty, and I don't think she has the best interest of Lindsay, who is supposed to be, or at the time, was in trouble. I didn't think that she had that in her heart and in her mind. I think she was just playing the system and being that surrogate celebrity, in a sense. And that bothered me. I mean, is that one of the things that bothers you?
Reese, you have no idea what I've gone through with this whole situation. Number one, when you opened up this show, you said this is about the truth, and you said the truth is God, so on and so forth, and we're only we know the truth. Well, God knows the truth, too, and you're exactly right. The truth is God. And if you don't have God in you, you don't know the truth. And unfortunately, you know, for 19 years I was married, and you never saw, you never heard a bad thing about us. You never saw Dina or Michael Lohan. We were just Lindsay's parents. And when Lindsay made it big with the Parent Trap, Dina became Lindsay's manager. And as from my lips to God's ears, and everyone knows this, I never took a penny from Lindsay. I was never her manager. Did I give her advice? Did I tell her this is a good role, not a good role, so on and so forth? Absolutely, because she had to follow a certain track to bring her to where she was should have been and where she's getting to now. However, when we got divorced and Dina took over Lindsay's career and there wasn't any more guidance, you can see what happened. I mean, there were no more good films. They were, and Dina started to work on her own career just recently. I think you can see that Dina wanted to do her own TV show, and she's casting something about bringing kids to stardom through Broadway and musicals or something like that. And to go out there and say you were a rockette when she was never, I mean, the New York Post did an investigation. She was never a rockette. You don't lie. Lies are going to catch up with you. You don't put a wedge between your kids. My kid, Lindsay, doesn't even want to speak to Dina anymore. People don't know that, but they make it seem like it's me. It's not me. I just spent my birthday with Lindsay out in California, April 25th, and everyone saw it. I was at the Standard Hotel with her, and Dina still denies it. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because I know the truth, Lindsay knows the truth, and God knows the truth. And all of us, this stuff is superficial. People can say what they want. It's water off a duck's back after a while, Reese. And I don't – look, if you ask me anything and I'm wrong, I'm going to tell you. You know why? Okay. Because I can't live with myself if you don't tell me the truth. You want to ask me about drinking and drugs and what I did and getting in arguments and my relationship with Kate Major and so on and so forth. You know, I'll tell you the truth about everything. And the truth does set you free. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, out of all the people I've been involved with, Kate was probably one of the best people I was ever with.
Wow. Well, you were talking about how the roles went downhill after Dina became the manager of Lindsay Lohan. And for those of you who are just joining us, we're on the phone live with Michael Lohan, of course, dad of Lindsay Lohan, and who's, I don't care what anybody says, you're the biggest pimp of them all, man. Let me explain to you why, okay? I'm going to get it.
What is my name? I think.
You're the biggest pimp for them all. Trust me. You've been able to pimp this game. Your name is still relevant in all of this. When they were bashing you, when they were kicking you out of places, and they didn't want you associated, your name still resonates. You are the biggest pimp in the game on Hollywood, okay? You have to understand,
well,
and I appreciate it. That's why I said. That's why I played that opening. It's hard out here for a pimp. It's hard. Now listen.
Oh my God. I feel like I want to come back to New York tonight.
Now listen to me. I have to say this to you. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy about this Liz Taylor role. And they're promoting it on E! And every place else. This is going to be a great role for Lindsay Lohan to play Elizabeth Taylor. Before I get your answer, let me tell you how I feel about it, because my opinion matters here. No one cares about Lindsay Lohan, a person who is trying to get the come up again, and that's what we say in the hood, the come up again, playing some old, washed up, dead 50s actress. There's none of her young audience that she's trying to reach to get the come up. Lindsay's in her 20s. Lindsay should not be playing some dead 90-year-old in order to get the come up on Lifetime, doing those movies. Doing a movie on Lifetime about Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. Nobody cares. It's not relevant. We know this story backwards and forwards. Thank you, People Magazine and the National Enquirer. Are you happy with this role, or are you just taking it as it comes?
You know what? It's not a matter of whether I'm happy with it or if I take it as it comes. This
You're
stuff
her
goes.
Dad, Michael. Come on.
Look,
You're her dad,
you know,
and
what?
This is her career.
As long as it's not a Playboy spread, then I'm okay with it. As long as there's no nudity and that kind of stuff. You have to look at it this way. Look, people in the past played dead presidents. They played all sorts of people that were, that, you know, even that Linda Lovelace thing would have been horrible. That deep throat actress. So Lindsay should have never, they should have never come to her, promoted that movie. She should never even looked at the script. I don't know why they gave it to her, but that's beside the point. Lindsay is doing this, and I understand why. She's doing it because she wants to prove herself. She loves Marilyn Monroe. She loves Elizabeth Taylor, and she idolized them, and she really wants to show how much, how she can really portray them in the right light. She's going to, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, whatever it is, she's going to show those sides of the actresses, and you're going to see Lindsay, just like, look at it like The Parent Trap. She played two roles and depicted two different sisters, twin sisters. She is going to get into this role, and you're not going to know the difference between, I guarantee you won't know the difference between Elizabeth Taylor and Lindsay. She, when she gets into character, she's the best at what she does. I've seen her before. When she did The Parent Trap and they wanted Haley, she had an English accent. Natasha Richardson, God rest her soul, was with her and the voice coach. And after a week, she said, "Why are you paying this woman $5,000 a week? Lindsay did this on her own. She doesn't need a voice coach." Not because she's my daughter. She is a gifted, gifted kid. You saw it when she was 9 years old, and you saw it as she got older and older, right up to Mean Girls. What happened after that was not Lindsay. It was her addiction that took over, and it took her away from what she – her blessing was taken away from her. God gives, and he takes away. And he does reinstate, and I think he's giving her another chance now, and she's going to prove herself in it. But if this is what she wants – this is what she's going to do, and I'm behind her. I support her in this.
Now, you said the last time you were with Lindsay was on your birthday. What date was that?
April 25th.
April 25th, yeah. Hey,
okay,
I was
so
with
that's pretty recent.
Yeah, yeah, just last month. Well, two months ago.
About 2 months. Well, it's only the beginning of June, so about a month ago.
Yeah.
So you've got great communication with her. Your relationship is, what would you consider it, mending? Improving, mended, where would we be if we had to scale it? And I hate to do that to you because this is your child, but, you know, for other people to understand, where's the relationship now? Mending, we're reconciled, working, what are we on?
Well, would it be fair to me if I said it's where it should be as a father and daughter? I'm not her friend. I'm her dad. I don't have to be a friend to her. I think that if I was, it'll come to the point where I'm a friend with her again, but I have to be a father first, especially when she's rebuilding her life and her career. She doesn't need friends now. She needs people that are more, you know, supportive than her friends are. And I'm not going to play or pretend with her I mean, I call her on anything, and you know that. And it got to the point, and I hated speaking out the way I did publicly, but it got to the point where her mother was denying publicly and privately that she had a problem. But in the meantime, she was calling me up saying, we're not going to have a daughter left. And I did my own checking, and I found out that Dina was right. But when she wasn't listening anymore, I had to put my foot down and put her in a corner. When that didn't work, I go public and say, listen, the world's going to know about this. If you don't want to help yourself, we're going to make you get help. And that's what I did. And I do regret some things, but in the long run, I got her into rehab like I wanted to.
Michael, let me say this to you as father to father, and I don't know whether or not anybody's got enough guts to say this to you in the entertainment business, but I'm going to say this to you, and I hope in some sort of way it helps you understand something that a lot of people don't have enough guts to say. So hear me out.
Sure.
We live in a society where we use the word like dad and mom and grandma and grandpa, and we use these titles, so to speak. And what we forget is that when you use a title like dad, is that for some odd reason, people have a tendency to believe that because you are that figure, that sort of deity in a sense, that you are infallible or you cannot make mistakes. And you're almost reduced from being a human being, a person who makes mistakes, who is fallible. And I think that people have used that in your situation with Lindsay and your public life to forget that, in essence, to say because your daughter's a celebrity that you cannot make a mistake and you cannot do anything wrong, that you can't have be out of sorts with your child, that you can't have a dispute. You're supposed to be this sort of divine character. And those people are liars. And those people don't know a damn thing about what they're talking about.
Well, you know what? You keep saying, I can't make mistakes. I can't do this. I can't do that. That word is wrong. The proper word is, I should not.
No. See, listen, this is the reason why I'm saying this to you.
Yeah.
Okay? You are no deity, Michael. You're not. You make decisions based upon, you know, what you've learned as you've grown older. They may not be right. They may not be correct. You try to make the right decisions. They work out or they don't. And that's a part of life. Sometimes you fail. That's what life is all about.
I'm agreeing with you. That's what I'm saying. It's not that I can't make mistakes. I shouldn't make mistakes, but I do because I'm human. I'm a human being. I'm just like anyone else. I have my strengths and my weaknesses. Look, I've lived on both sides of the coin. I've met the professors, the purveyors, the rich, the poor, the evil, the good. I've met, and I've been on both sides of the coin myself. I've been both myself in a lot of ways. But you know what? It's a matter of, look, life is like a boxing match.
Right.
You have 10 rounds, and it doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down and how many rounds, you have to keep getting up and you have to keep fighting the fight. It's not a matter of winning or losing the round. It's finishing the fight. And there's no damn way ever on earth, unless God takes me out of the picture, that I'm going to lose this fight.
You're absolutely right. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we promised ourselves that we're going to pick some movie ideas to Michael Lowen for his daughter to play. We've got one, and we're going to associate a whole bunch of other actors and actresses who have done roles that have been controversial, and we think, instead of this Liz Taylor nonsense, I'm sorry, that's just my opinion, we've got an idea for Lindsay in a role that will bring her back. I mean, it will make her literally Oscar-worthy. So, Mike, can you stick around with us for a little bit?
Absolutely, buddy. Absolutely.
All right. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be right back.
You got it.
We'll be right back.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, 34 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. And on the phone with us, I call it a major coup. Because I've watched this guy on TMZ, or at least he calls in all the time. What's that guy's name?
Who's it? Harvey Levin? What's his name?
Who?
Who's it? Harvey over there at TMZ.
Yeah.
Harvey Levine?
Yeah, Harvey Levine, whatever his name is. That's, you know.
Whatever his name is.
Well,
don't say
on the phone with us nonetheless.
We're not gonna promote him.
No, we're not going to promote him. But on the phone with us, of course, is Michael Lohan, the father of Lindsay. Thank you very much for joining us again and sticking around for the commercial break. I hope there wasn't too much anti-Obama commercials for you there, Michael.
No, there's never enough.
Whoa, wait a minute.
No. Let's move on.
Wait, we can't ask Michael real quick about his political leanings? Come on.
Of course.
I mean, Michael, I do have to ask you this because I'm going to get into some other stuff.
Sure.
Lindsay was, of course, she went to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. She was a guest of Kim Kardashian. Do you know why she went or why she decided to go? What was the whole reason behind that? Or did she just go because she was invited?
Well, Greta Van Susteren invited her. And,
that's correct.
Started to get her life back on track. It was Correspondents' Dinner, and she, you know, she does have her political opinions. Some are in tune with mine, some aren't. I actually did business with Bain Capital when Mitt Romney was partners with Bob Gay at the firm, and I think they're very upstanding guys. I think they have a lot of knowledge of finance. I think this country needs people that know what they're doing financially in order to get us back in checks and balances back in place. And I think they need another Bill Clinton to get this economy back on track.
Well, let's not go too far there, Michael.
Yeah,
Bill Clinton went a whole other direction.
Hold
on,
Bill Clinton.
No. Look at the economy. When Bill Clinton stepped in, it was a mess. When he got out, it was in great shape.
It was. And you can thank the Republicans and Newt Gingrich. In the late,
Romney
is
a Republican, and Clinton was a Democrat. So I go with the right the person I believe is right. I'm not. I was raised in a Republican family. I really don't. You know, I don't see things that way all the time.
Okay.
I went to school.
Would you consider yourself a conservative liberal?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay. So you're a center right guy.
Yeah, for the most part.
I don't want to put you on. I don't want to put you on the spot, but you seem like that, especially coming from.
I worked on Wall Street. I worked on the commodity exchange for 11 years, but I'm an investment banker now.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So no, that particular, and Lindsay, I'm sure, you know, hanging out with the Hollywood elite, she probably has a lot of liberal leanings. We're not going to ask what her leanings are. I'd like to know, though, to be honest. But my support with her would grow immensely if she was a little more center-right, to be honest with you. But I support her.
Well, it depends on which way the wind blows.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Now, look, we talked about this all day. In fact, we just had a conversation off the air. We've been talking about this for a while. And I got to say, before I say anything, I got to preface this. Listen, I hate the people that you are forced to associate with and deal with all the time. I'm not a quote-unquote fan of these people who have been bludgeoning your name and have been taking advantage of Lindsay's downfalls or her issues, whatever it is. I believe these people are nothing but blood-sucking jerks, and they don't care about you. And no, I'm dead serious. They don't care about you. They're not interested in you. The only thing they're interested in is what's going to be their next tabloid headline and whether or not they're going to get the goddamn exclusive. That's the bottom line. I don't care who it is that they are. I don't care how generous they are in their public dealings. The bottom line is that what I've seen personally is that they've taken Lindsay Lohan and they've dragged her through the mud when they found it convenient, and then they played the "I'm so concerned about her" role to your face when you weren't around. All they did was bash her. And that's why I don't like them. I don't care who they are and what their names are, and I'll name them. I'm not one of those guys that say, I won't say names. The Ryan Seacrests, the TMZs, the Inquirers, the People magazines, whomever it is that's in Hollywood, the Us Weeklies, all of them. The bottom line is, and I'm going to say this to you, Michael, the bottom line is this, okay? Those bloodsuckers would be the first on your phone should anything tragic have happened to your daughter. They sit idly by the phones waiting for her to get into trouble so they can profit and benefit from it. So they don't care, and they're liars for ever suggesting that they ever did.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, Perez Hilton and half the other people out there that do the same thing. But you know what? I've come in my life, maybe when I was younger I would hate people too, but I've come to really pity them. I used to detest people, but I don't hate anyone on this planet, no matter what they've done to me. I pity them. I forgive them. It's not a person that I haven't forgiven in my life. But I do pity these people because it does come back to them one way or the other. And you don't know this, and I don't know this, but when people hurt other people, something happens in their own life. There is karma, whether it's them, a family member, something in business, something always happens. The truth always comes to light when they lie, and when they hurt other people, the hurt comes right back to them. So you know what? I don't bother. I used to be the kind of person where if you're going to do something to me or my family, I'm going to come to your doorstep, and I'm going to knock on your door. If you open that door, you're going to have a problem. But now I don't do it. I let God handle it. And you know what? He handles it a hell of a lot better than I do. And I don't wind up in silver bracelets either.
Well, Michael, you're in a better place than I am. Because I have no problem with cheating.
Reese, you didn't hit a telephone pole doing 80 miles an hour and die in the accident either. It took a lot for me to get there. I mean, I really had to have an epiphany in my life. And I have to thank someone from right on Long Island, Pastor Jimmy Jack, that changed my life when I went to Teen Challenge. He got me to go to Bible college, become a minister, changed my life. And it's, you know, I'm not, like we said before, none of us are perfect. I don't make all the right choices now. I don't act the right way all the time, but I do. I'm not perfect, but I try to be as perfect as I can. And it'll never happen where I am, but I'll always try and try and try.
We're on the phone, folks, with Michael Lohan, of course, an actor in his own right, and the father of Lindsay Lohan. Michael, now, listen, we're going to pitch this idea to you. I want you to keep an open mind about this.
Got it.
Okay? Listen to me. You need to get one of your Hollywood friends, the people that you know that you associate with. We know what we're talking about here, okay? Now, I'm bringing on my producer, JC. This is your future son-in-law, by the way. He loves your daughter more than anybody. In fact, he almost comes as close to you in loving your daughter. He cares deeply for her. And this is JC. JC, meet Michael.
Yeah, we spoke earlier. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Okay.
Hey,
all right.
JC. How are you?
Again. Yeah. Listen, we've talked about this. When we found out you were going to be on the show, we ran a whole bunch of ideas. We threw in a whole bunch of actors. So listen to where I'm going here. JC, jump in whenever I miss a person, okay, that we talked about. Now,
we should first tell them that we kind of had this conversation a couple months ago.
Yes, we did. We did have this conversation a couple months ago about a movie that would bring Lindsay back, and it would be the movie that would put her above the fray. Now, we did our research into other people who have done this. So I'm going to start off with back in the days with Robert Downey Jr. when he did the movie Less Than Zero. I know you remember that.
Oh, I love that movie, yep.
Okay, all right. Now, Robert Downey Jr., crackhead, you know, had a little bit of gay tendencies, you know, I mean, he was prostituting himself, you know. It was one of his most popular roles back in the 80s. People remember him from that era, the Less Than Zero thing. Now let's bring in a little more. Let's come forward a little bit. Will Smith, conniving, lying, homosexual, 6 degrees of separation. You see the theme okay. here? You got to play some sort of a villain bad guy, okay? But sort of like he's the anti-hero, which you kind of like him and you feel for him. Okay, let's come forward a little more. Halle Berry in Monsters Ball. Okay?
Yeah.
Minus the nudity. But, you know, it was kind of a real rugged, sort of, you know, very, very tortured soul, if you will.
Yeah.
Lindsay has had all of this happen in her life. Not these particular things, but she's had all of this other stuff happen in her life. If Lindsay
right.
were to incorporate some of that stuff, now, we're not suggesting that Lindsay can play this role because of her dealings. We're just talking about how Hollywood reacts to these types of characters, okay?
Right.
So I don't want you to misconstrue what we're saying. We're not saying Lindsay is this person. We're saying how Hollywood reacts to these types of characters. So
yeah, they give them Oscars. That's what they do.
Right. So we're thinking, let's do a movie where Lindsay Lohan plays like a tortured ex call girl on drugs with a single mother who's trying to get her, we got to say daughter back. I don't know. Sons work, but they don't always work. Losing
no
Isaiah
daughter.
Didn't do well. It's got to be daughter. And, you know, she can get like the new Dakota Fanning.
Reese, she did that already. She did a movie called I Know Who Killed Me.
Yeah, no.
It's a little deeper than that.
We're not a little deeper than that. This is a character piece. We watch her at the lowest points of the actress. We watch the actress in the lowest points of her life, like sitting at the table, cooking a can of beans inside the can on the stove, like that kind of turmoil. Like, you know, watching her with, you know, a runny mascara. Like, really, really, an older person,
well,
sort of down and
like,
out.
Like a Julianne Moore in Boogie Nights.
No, I'm not liking Julianne Moore in this one in Boogie Nights. No. Something a little more tortured. She's got to be living in, like, an abandoned building, sort of. You know, like she...
Well, you have it all in your head. Write a script.
This is perfect. Listen, and we'll call the movie something like horrendous. Like we need like a really, really awful title for it that just comes out of like the wretches of humanity. And I can see it now. The Washington Post calls Lindsay Lohan's performance stellar. The New York Times calls it a tour de force. Like she's gotta play somebody so tortured. The bottom line is if she plays anything lower than what it is people have tried to depict her as, that it won't be typecasting in a sense. They'll say that Lindsay Lohan went for raw emotion, gave a piece of herself. This is how this Hollywood thing works. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, maybe if you do a movie called Mommy's Dearest, it would work.
Oh, wow. That was...
Wow.
Oh, my.
Not Mommy's Dearest, but Mommy's Dearest.
Wow.
Wow.
Ow,
yes.
That hurt.
And you know what? That's what it is. And we'd have... And we, you know what? That was
brilliant.
That would be great because we could base Lindsay's character on Dina.
That would be a horror film.
That's the whole point. It's got to be really, really low. Come on, Michael, you can write this.
Listen, yeah, I could. Believe me, I lived it already. Look, I don't mean to beat up Dina. It's just that lately it's been a really, like, you folks don't know what's been going on. It's been. Dina spent a week out there, and it really put Lindsay through hell. I didn't know a lot of things that were happening. Lindsay confided in me when it was happening at my birth for my birthday, and you know, a parent can't rely. Look, parents are there for their kids. They're not supposed to. Parents aren't supposed to. The kids aren't supposed to be there for their parents. And Dina should not. Dina gets enough from me. She got enough from me in my divorce. She shouldn't tell Lindsay she needs money and she's broke and tell me the same thing. And then when we both give her money, tell each of us that neither of us give her money. So in other words, she's getting money from both ends, and this poor kid feels like she's responsible for everything. You know what I want you to do? Whether you have another break or when we get off the phone, I want you to listen to the song, Daughter to Father, that Lindsay wrote to me. This is when I got my DWI and I was in jail. And she wrote a song.
It's funny that you bring that up, because that was one of the things I was going to ask you about, what's going on with her music career. But you said, what's the name of the song?
It's called Daughter to Father. It was on her album. If you go on Google, punch in Daughter to Father, and you'll listen to the song. And while I was away, I wrote all my kids' letters, and I was, you know, sent the money. I did everything I could. And the first here's the first two lines of the song. I wait for the postman to bring me a letter. I wait for the good Lord to make me feel better. I carry the weight on the weight of the world on my shoulders, a family in crisis that only gets older. Where are you, Dad? Where are you? I love you. I love you. I wear your old clothes. I wear your polo sweater. And it goes on and on and on. And all it talks about is a child that is there and relied on her father and her family. And when the father was gone, she felt like she was responsible for everything. And all she had of me was my clothes and my memory while I was away, because her mother, after the divorce, would not, after I got the DWI, Dina filed for the divorce. And that's, actually, it was, I don't know if you remember, but there was a fight between Dina's brother and I. Dina's brother came to my son's communion party. I caught him smoking crack. I did not hit the man with a shoe. If I did, I would have hurt him worse. What happened was, I told him to leave. He wouldn't leave. He finally did leave, got even more wasted, came back, and he came after me, and he swung at me, and I hit him, and he hit his head on a curb, and he went into a coma, and Dina filed for divorce the next day.
Wow.
So that's the reason we got divorced. And it wasn't, for 19 years, he never heard a bad thing about us.
Can I ask you this? Do you think that, and that is a traumatic situation, is Dina's brother, he's in a coma. Do you think that this was nothing more than a catalyst or something that was just used as an excuse for something that was already...
100%. You know why? Because Lindsay, Dina never worked. It was me. I worked on the commodity exchange, and we had enough. We had everything in the world that we wanted. Dina finally built up enough money with Lindsay to really support herself, and her family was getting. Her family didn't have jobs. None of her brothers had jobs.
Right.
Her one brother, Paul, was arrested for stealing $1 million from 9/11 Victims Fund.
And I do remember that.
And the whole family was a mess. And unfortunately, the one good brother, Christopher, who was a really great guy, when we got divorced, he was working for us around the house anyway, and we employed him. But when we got divorced, Dina said, no more, you can't talk to him. And he had three children that were severely handicapped, and they were in special schools and special homes. And one of them got in some trouble with the law for a home invasion. And Chris had come to me after the divorce and said, Michael, he said, can you please get him out of jail and into a program? He's got a drug problem. And I went to court, spoke to the judge, spoke to the prosecutor, and got him out of jail and into Teen Challenge on Long Island. And Dina found out that her brother came to me, and she fired him. He lost his medical insurance.
What?
And he couldn't have... Yeah, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. He couldn't afford to get his treatment for the Hep C that he had, and he wound up dying.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, Chris Sullivan, absolutely. Yep. He couldn't get interferon treatments anymore, and he wound up dying. And it was just the most horrible thing in the world. I could never live with myself if I did that. Why? Because I helped helped this guy's son, got him out of jail.
I wonder if, Michael, and again, I'm sort of rehashing this for you, but I would like to ask this because, you know, having gone through a very, very horrible divorce myself some 20 years ago, close to 20 years ago, I remember what happened to me after that took place. I want to know, do you believe that some of your troubles personally, on a personal level, was, as you already expressed, that Lindsay really, really hit sort of hit the bricks, so to speak, after the divorce took place, because the family that she knew all of her life had completely split up. What did it do to you? What did it? I mean, how did it affect you in a sense?
It kills me to this day because I'm the one. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm the one responsible for everything Lindsay went through. Because if I didn't react the way I did to her brother, I could have, Dina's brother, that is, I could have just, he was so wasted, I could have just blown on him and he would have fallen over. But I had so much animosity for this guy that I just blacked out and I just pummeled him. And if I didn't do what I did, we wouldn't have gotten divorced.
You don't believe that? I mean, do you really believe that? I don't believe that.
I think
there was an agenda beforehand. Considering everything that we've seen thus far, I think there was an agenda from the get-go. Get you out of the way and for Dina to have her own mission for Lindsay.
Well, you know what? Maybe there is some truth to that, but at the same time, I have to look at it from my perspective and what I did.
Fair enough. You're closer to this than I am.
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe there was an agenda. I'm the one who finally closed the door, and I by reacting the way I did, I sealed my fate. I really did. I let them have their way. And
right.
It didn't have to be that way. We could have done it in another way. But listen, I did it. I did it. And I tell my kids that to this day. And I say, I'm sorry for that very day and what happened. But God made me pay a price because less than a month later, I hit that telephone pole.
Right. Now, how are the other kids? Because I know there's Michael Lowen Jr., there's Allie and Cody, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How's everyone else?
Cody is going to St. Anthony's, which is a private parochial school on Long Island, doing very, very well. My son Michael graduated from Ithaca. He was summa cum laude. He was there on a lacrosse and a educational scholarship.
Uh-huh.
And then my daughter Allie is, she's been the stabilizing force in Lindsay's life. She really has.
Right.
When she was living with Lindsay in L.A., I watched it. I saw it with my own two eyes. When people walked in that house that didn't belong there, Allie would stand at the door and look at Lindsay and say, "Are you serious? You're going to let..." No, she would say that. And if Lindsay let them in the house, she said, "You know what? I'm out of here." And she would leave. She does not put up with crap from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
She is a great kid. She's gorgeous. She's got a great head on her shoulders, and she's an old, old soul. So, you know, you know what it is? I really think that, you know, everything happens for a reason, and Lindsay was the most gifted out of anybody. And when you have a calling like that, where there's much given, there's much required. There really is. I mean, that's biblical, too. And if you don't use it the right way, God's going to teach you a lesson. And let's look at it this way. When you climb a rope in your gym, the higher you get, the harder it is. And the higher you get when you fall, the harder it is, too.
Absolutely.
But like I said with the boxing match, it's a matter of getting back on that rope and start climbing again. And that's, Lindsay's a climber. And, you know, I've been there, too. And, you know, you have to be resilient. And she is, and I am. And I think she's on her way back up now, and she's only going to continue to get higher and higher.
End of the day, I know you're proud of her. I know you're doing everything to make sure that she continues her success. Are you planning on, or would you like to be a little more involved in her career, or are you just stepping back and leaving it as is?
No, you know, I've got my own life, her career, and I told her just the other day, Lindsay, this is about you. This is not about mommy. It's not about me. This is about you. You don't have to take care of anyone but yourself. And you don't have to stress over anything. That's what caused you to have the problems you had. I never was involved in her career. When she asked me things, I told her. And if she did ask me about the Playboy thing, and I said, honey, it's up to you. I said, I'm not going to look at it. That's your call. If they do it tastefully, that's one thing. I said, but, you know, I'm your father, and I'm not going to tell you to do something that where you're naked. But it was a decision, her decision. She made it, and you know what? She got publicity out of it, a lot of good and some bad. But and what you don't realize about this Liz Taylor role now is there's other things that she has in front of her after this that are amazing projects. I'm talking about big feature films. So this
you
is
can't
only
tell
a step
me, you can't tell me anything? Come on, give me a little bit of something.
No, let's just say action adventure, and she's really getting into her craft again. She really
is.
So
are we going to see Lindsay Lohan big screen 2013 or 2014?
probably they'll be working in 13. But I don't know when it'll be released. But she's got a lot. She's getting a lot of offers. They're all watching to see how she does with this, and you're going to be surprised.
And what about the John Gotti film? Is she going to? I mean, the John Gotti Jr. film. Is that what's the deal with that?
Well, you know what? We've been friends with the Gottis for a long time. I was away with them when I was in prison, believe it or not. And when Lindsay was a 3-year-old kid, she actually at San Gennaro's fair, she actually was handing out Zeppelins out of Mr. Gotti's booth.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. No, it's the God's honest truth.
What year was that?
I've been friends with Victoria for 10, 15 years now.
Oh, wow.
John Gotti used to buy me and my sister ice cream at Belmont Racetrack.
You know what? He was that kind of a guy. He really was. I mean, I don't condone.
My mother was in New York all of our lives. You know, my grandmother actually worked on a political, some kind of political committee that the Gottis were involved in.
Yeah.
So my mother had known them, and she was a gambler, and he was a gambler, and he liked kids, so he bought
them. Well, you're a true Long Islander, Michael. You are a true Long Islander. That I know about you personally, because being from New York, we know your family, and we know the guys you associate with very well.
That was my mother's side of the family. The rest of my family are real. I mean, the pillars of the community. My brother Scott, my cousin Craig is a 47-year-old self-made billionaire. I mean, the guy went to West Point. My brother Scott is one of the top people at Barclay Bank. He's one of the only people that Lehman Brothers sent over to Barclay. My brother graduated from Brown, and he was a 3-time All-American in lacrosse. I mean, my sisters are I was a black sheep, so that's how you look at it. But
so,
I was like Lindsay, I was the oldest, and we were the ones that really took all the chances, and everyone learned from us.
Yeah, that's usually the case. So, Michael, again, we appreciate you being part. Is there anything you'd like to promote otherwise? Is there a website, places that we can go? Anything coming up in your life that we should recognize?
Well, there'll be a few things coming up. First of all, I want to correct something. I'm not an actor. The only thing I ever did, when I was a kid, I was on a soap opera for 2 years. I was on as a world
That's president. You earned the credential, okay?
No, I did.
Reese,
I did Celebrity Rehab. I did it because I wanted people to learn from what I went through.
Right.
But I'm not an actor. There are some things coming up that that do have a very positive message that I will be involved in, but I'm an interventionist, and if anyone needs any help, they have to get in a rehab or they need someone to come and speak to them, they can call me at 954.
Hold on, let's get that number here. 954.
Yes, 540.
Uh-huh, 540.
8857.
57. And what's the name of the organization so that we can promote it, of course?
Well, it's Intervention Allies is
the
company, but that's my personal business phone, where if anyone calls me, they'll get me any time, day or night, if they're serious and they need help. And if I have to, I get on a plane and I'll speak to them, the family members, whoever I have to, and get them in the right place.
Michael, if something should come up, of course, to promote anything that you're doing, you want to talk about, Lindsay, can we keep in contact at Reese on the Radio, Michael Lohan, sort of little glove connection going on here? What's up?
Always. You guys are homeboys. Of course you can call me anytime.
Oh, I appreciate it. That's what I'm talking about. Michael, again, thank you for joining us, man. We really, really appreciate you being on the show today.
God bless you. And guys, listen, in the next couple of months, just keep your eyes open and your ears well in tune, because you're going to hear a lot.
Oh, definitely. We will be there. Thank you again for joining us. We will talk to you soon. Michael Lohan.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
God bless you too. Right here on Reese on the Radio. We'll be back. Stick around.
Have you lost your mind? I mean, how is it that you can disrespect a man's ethnicity when you know we've influenced nearly every facet of white America, from our music to our style of dress, not to mention your basic imitation of our sense of cool, walk, talk, dress, mannerisms? We enrich your very existence. all the while contributing to the gross national product through our achievements in corporate America. It's these conceits that comfort me when I'm faced with the ignorant, cowardly, bitter, and bigoted who have no talent, no guts. People like you who desecrate things they don't understand when the truth is you should say, thank you, man, and go on about your way. But apparently, you're incapable of doing that. So, and don't tell me to be cool. I am cool. Racial epithets. Why does it always come down to that, huh?
It's Reese on the radio, and we are back 4 minutes after the top of the hour. We just had a great and long conversation with Michael Lohan, the father of Lindsay Lohan. I feel like I'm one person removed from a famous Hollywood actress. Isn't that cool? And in fact, he's still on the phone right now talking to JC, the producer. They're having a great conversation. He was at Mary. Come on, what do you think? Come on, tell me.
Great.
Yeah, he was good. He was a good guest, right?
Yeah.
I thought that, and it's funny because if you watch any of these Hollywood shows, they rip this guy apart. And I don't know. It usually.
Well, because Hollywood wants the bad part. Of course they.
Yeah,
want
but
the part.
You know how I operate, Mary. I always say this. And by the way, I didn't need to be bothered to say, it's June 5th, 2012, on Blog Talk Radio.
Your grandpa, the day they took
the
grandpa away from
that's
you.
Right, my grandfather, Ronald Reagan, died today in 2004. But anyway, one thing that I always realized, and you guys, you know this about me. If you don't, let me clarify. Whenever I see the masses on television and in media going one way, I immediately go the other. I have to. I immediately go the other way. And let me bring in JC, because JC just got off the phone with him. JC?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. No, I was just explaining. I said, if there's one thing about me that most people know, is that when the rest of people in media go one way, I immediately start searching the other option. Like, I always ask myself, why is everyone always depicting it this way, it this way, it this way? Let me find what it is that I'm missing. And guys like Michael Lohan are always critiqued in the media as being some bad guy, and I knew that once I talked to him, I was going to find out the truth.
Find something totally different.
Totally
I didn't expect
different.
That at all.
I didn't expect him to be that guy.
No,
and
I...
He was definitely totally down to earth. He didn't have any kind of airs about him.
Right.
Up front, still. I mean, he was, you know what? This is what I can say to him. Because this is most New Yorkers. He's a true New Yorker. That's how New Yorkers are. We're true and through. We tend to always continue to be who we are, no matter where we've gone in our life, what we've been through. We still are who we are.
Yeah, I think that I got that sense of him. You were talking to him off the air. What did he have to say, JC?
He was still to be a part of the show. Just further
what?
Solidified a somewhat of a relationship with us.
He was thrilled to be on the show.
Yeah, pretty thrilled to be on the show. If anything, let him know if he had anything he had to promote in the future, or just wanted to call in to the fat. We're here for him, and we hope that and likewise the the feeling's mutual, and it was.
Did he say anything nice about me?
He did. Well, he thinks he's your homie. He calls. Well, I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Say that. How pathetic was that?
Well, I want to know.
Did he say anything nice about me?
Well, I thought I was a gracious host. It'd be nice if the guy.
They were.
What? Wait. There's something wrong with me asking if he said anything nice about me. Why not?
Just the way that you said it.
I have been in love with Lindsay more longer than you could possibly imagine. Okay? Not during the Parent Trap years. The point is that I support his daughter. Well, I wouldn't say that.
I've been in love with her and I just talked to my future father-in-law.
No, no, JC is going to be JC is going to be a son-in-law before I am.
And that's only because of, that's only because I'm 4 years her senior.
Yeah, only 4 years. So what did he say? He enjoyed himself on the show then.
Yeah, he enjoyed himself, but you know, it kind of makes you wonder, you know. And it's something that I was going to get into with him, but you know, I didn't really want to bring up a darker point in his media life. And I'm kind of aggravated now at how it's gone down.
What do you mean?
With him and Lanithia Leakes, who happens to be NeNe from the Housewives of Atlanta.
Gotcha.
They had a huge spat on the air where NeNe jumped down his throat with a hot mic on, didn't realize that her mic was hot. She jumped down his throat and did without ever knowing the man.
But again, this is exactly what my point was when I was talking about him.
As I said, your dad drove it home to me, you know?
Yeah, that the bottom line is that this guy has been vilified by the media. They only use him. You saw the way he responded when I said, these people don't care about you. They don't care about your daughter.
But
they are
know,
waiting
he,
for
but,
the
but
next.
But he can't take that personal because they don't care about anybody. All they care about is the next best story.
Well, that's true. That's what I said. It's like I know
that
he knows
that. But
you know
what? That. But that's the, I mean, okay, I understand.
Sort of the nature of the beast.
It is. I mean, that's what, you know, that comes with fame. That comes with, I mean, there's a price for everything. You're blessed in some ways and cursed in others.
I have to agree with you there.
It's a give-and-take relationship.
I thought it was a great interview. He was entertaining. I thought he had a lot of insights and stuff that I didn't know. Personally, especially that whole back and forth between Dina
and brutally honest.
That stuff about Dina's family and the brother who died. I mean, have you ever heard those stories before, JC? You follow this stuff better than I do.
Well, I know about the fight. I know about the fight on the day of the communion, but no, I didn't know anything else about her brother.
How ironic was it that he used to work for Bain Capital? That for me, I mean, you guys care about the entertainment stuff. I didn't know he worked at Bain. And
I think he said he had dealings with Bain.
Well, no,
he worked at Bain.
Bain.
I don't think that's what he said. I think he said he had.
Well, we'll go back and we'll check the audio. But he was a great interview. I thought he was good. Speaking of the whole Bain Capital and you know the election thing. Did you hear that the election is pretty much being called in Wisconsin?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, Scott Walker, who is now, the current governor of Wisconsin, had a recall vote against him. They were trying to get him out of office. And the polls are in now, about 36%, 39% of the precincts reporting. Walker has 59% to Barrett's 40. And his lieutenant governor, Clayfish, I always forget her first name, but she's got 58% of the vote to her opponent, Mitchell's 42%. And it looks like this is pretty much a wrap. So all of that hoopla, $64 million into this whole campaign to recall a sitting governor, worked out where he ended up keeping his seat.
Wow.
And
to the tune of $64 million.
To the tune of $64 million, and a lot of the money came from Republicans to keep him in seat, to keep a seat as governor. What was even more frightening about this was that this was like an all-out civil war in Wisconsin politically. Protesters were going nuts. But here's the interesting thing. And this is why.
Wait a minute! Hold on!
Go on.
We're talking about Wisconsin. What the hell got 8 to 16 cheese farmers up there?
What?
Wisconsin.
Okay.
16, what?
Listen, This is a referendum.
Did you say that they have cheese farms?
Yes. This is a referendum on politics this coming November. Here's why. First of all, the guy he was running against. Okay. Barrett, he was running against. This guy couldn't even get an official endorsement from Barack Obama.
Barack Obama decided today to tweet that he endorsed Barrett. He tweeted it.
Wow.
That is embarrassing. And the reason why was that he didn't want to be associated with the loss, which they were certain was coming. And
it's terrible to not have your own party back you.
Yeah, it's always horrible when your own party doesn't back you and not vigorously.
No, especially when they don't back you because they know that the backlash is not going to be good for them. It doesn't matter that you're supposed to be one and the same.
Yeah,
right?
But
hope
this
and change for all, equality for all.
But you know what? Scott Walker went after the unions. He went after the unions. He turned a $3 billion deficit, $3 billion deficit, and turned it into a surplus. He dropped the unemployment rate 1% in 2 years. He created jobs, and the guy went after the unions, and they tried to recall him. They got all the votes for the recall. In fact, just to make this even more interesting, the petition that was signed to get people to recall Governor Walker, the names on there included Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. I don't even know who else was on this one.
Wow.
And a judge ruled that the names were legitimate.
I'm sure they did. That's happened before somewhere.
That is how awful this was.
Cheese farmers.
They're not cheese farmers. See, you're the one of those elites that think that places like Wisconsin are flyover country and there's nothing more than a bunch of bumpkins that live there. This is America. This is the heart of America. America is not New York and L.A., man. It's not. It's not San Francisco.
Okay, well, they have digital thermometers to measure the temperature of cheese.
You're still dissing them. You know that, right?
I mean, you never hear of anything that goes on out in these places. Nothing. Whatever goes on out there.
How about America's team is in Wisconsin?
America's who?
America's team is in Wisconsin.
What team?
The Green Bay Packers.
That ain't nobody's team but people that live in Wisconsin.
No, it's not. It's America's team. It was voted 2 years ago. It's America's team. It's no longer the Dallas Cowboys. America's
vote.
Team is the Green Bay Packers.
I didn't vote.
Okay, so because you didn't vote, that means you doesn't exist? Only your vote count?
Because at the time she was a Democrat, and you guys, Republicans, are always trying to get those of us who are Democrats, or those of us that are Democrat-like at some point or another, you try to rob us of our votes.
We don't rob us of our votes. Did you just say that? Did you really just say that, JC?
Maybe. Aren't we doing it in Florida now?
No, nobody. No. There's a purge of illegal voters there. Reese,
your boy lied in court. Are we going to talk about that?
No, we're not going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about what? Who lied about what?
Why are you calling him my boy?
Who?
Why am I calling it your boy?
He's talking about George Zimmerman.
Not that you defended him.
I'm defending
him. Yeah, borderline. You borderline defended him. Are we going to talk about it? He lied in court.
Oh, I guess we can. I don't know the story, so I guess you'll have to brief me.
Well, I mean, it's plain and simple. When he went to court and stated how much he had in his account, we talked about it already.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Say again.
What was that?
I played the wrong audio. Go ahead.
He basically lied about how much he had, and he knew he was lying about how much he had, and he admitted it.
Yes. Okay. I understand that right now, since he's been arrested, that the donations have been skyrocketing.
They've been skyrocketing. Well, yeah.
So I expect this, honestly, to be, even if he does get another bail bond hearing, if he does get another hearing, he'll be able to make that tap. We'll talk about it when we get back. We'll take it.
I'm talking about why am I sitting here eating popcorn with a fork.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We'll be back. Please, right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
All over my face. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right, ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right, it's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Reese on the radio, 24 minutes after the hour, right here on Blog Talk Radio. It is June the 5th, 2012, the day of my Lord.
The day of the death of your Lord.
Yes, the day of the death of my Lord. I haven't played this in a while, so for me, personally, I know that this isn't relevant to you guys, but...
Oh, Lord.
I really, really, you know, again, politics happened for me in 1980 and 1981. And that was the, you know, the campaign and the presidency of Ronald Wilson Reagan.
You were 11.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead, JC.
That's what happened for me as well.
And people called Ronald Reagan the devil. Did you know that? Do you want to know why?
Why? Because he had pointy ears?
So. No, because his name is Ronald Wilson Reagan, 666.
What? Ronald Wilson Reagan. How does that equate to 666?
The number of letters in each name.
R-O-N-A-L-D. W-I-L-S-O-N, R-E-A-G-A-N.
Really?
Yeah, Ronald.
Ooh, I have a time on their hands, too.
That's what they said when we were kids.
That was crackhead early conspiracy theory.
That was conspiracy theory back when I was growing up. Ronald Wilson Reagan meant 666.
Oh,
they said he was
Antichrist.
The devil. Yeah,
he was the Antichrist.
Yes.
And Star Wars was about destroying America.
Yeah,
exactly. Some people call Barack Obama the Antichrist.
Yes, but, you know, it's O-B-A-M-A is only five.
O-B-A-M-A.
Yeah, it's only five. So it didn't work out that way. Hussein.
When we did hear that, Chihuahua was the devil's favorite snack.
So let me just play. That's funny. The Chihuahua was the devil's favorite snack.
Oh,
and Obama ate dog. Here's a little bit of Ronald Reagan, and I love this clip because it was, again, what I loved about Ronald Reagan is absolute command of not just the podium, but his storytelling ability. He was referred to as the great communicator. And rightly so. This is Ronald Reagan telling a joke, to this day, still one of my favorite jokes.
There was once upon a time that to be a Republican in this area of the country felt a little bit like being Gary Cooper in High Noon, outnumbered in a big way. But I remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning, and when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, "Wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before." So he got her, and the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, "That's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech." And the candidate said, "That's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform."
And that was Ronald Reagan at his best. And he could always I just love the way he always wowed the crowd, and you can hear that roar, that ruckus.
That was along the lines of Celebrity Roar.
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, he was. I mean, look, I will admit, what made Ronald Reagan popular was the fact that he can orate in that common man way. It's a little different than what you are suggesting with Barack Obama.
Well, who was suggesting?
Can you hold on for a second? Yes, Mary. Okay, all right. Mary's tapping me annoyingly just to get my attention. I mean, his celebrity was about not rhetoric. What he was he approached people in a very common sense way, a very common man way.
Layman term.
Very layman. One of his greatest lines, and I wish I had the audio to it, and in fact I'm going to try to grab it for a future show. What's great is he had this one thing that he used to always say. It's two words. No, pardon me. No, it's not two words. I apologize. It was more than that. The line was, there you go again. That's what he would always say. There you go again. He would always use that four words. Thank you. There you go again. He would always use that. Another great line, Mondale, Fritz Mondale, Walter Mondale said this during after a debate, many years later, after this debate he had with Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan's running for a second term in 1984. In 1984, they were at two podiums during a debate. And the commentator asked a question to Ronald Reagan about his age. At that time, Ronald Reagan was working on 72 years old. And about something about age. And Ronald Reagan knew that the question, of course, was about his own age. His response to that was, he says, you're right about age, but I will not let the youth and inexperience of my opponent. That's what he said. He said, the youth and inexperience of my opponent. He flipped it on Mondale. Mondale said many years later that's what he knew he lost. Because he was able to turn the entire crowd went nuts. And it was one of those moments where Ronald Reagan, he always had this sort of sense of not just himself, but the room. And as I've talked about this before, this book that I read, that I own, that I love, is called Rendezvous with Destiny, a book written by Craig Shirley. I love this book. I have it in hardcover. And the opening of the book talks about Rendezvous with Destiny and Ronald Reagan using that term, that America has a rendezvous with destiny. And the first time he said it, political commentators George Will and William F. Buckley were sitting at this dinner or whatever it was when Ronald Reagan used this phrase, Rendezvous with Destiny. And the both of them, these are political conservative elites. When they heard Ronald Reagan say that, they thought it was the corniest thing in the world. They just rolled their eyes, Rendezvous with Destiny. What type of crap is that? They couldn't believe it. Rendezvous with Destiny. That shining city on the hill. He always viewed America as that shining city on the hill. He always preached American exceptionalism. That we should be proud of how exceptional we are. That's not about being better than anybody. Because No, it's not about a time thing. Is that America is the only free country, the freest country on God's green earth. It's the freest. And he said it's because of the forefathers who worked out the ideal of America, which made us exceptional. He believed in that. And there are people out here who are trying to tell us we're not that exceptional. Barack Obama, and I hate to bring his name back into this, but he went out when asked about American exceptionalism, argued it by saying, well, there's British exceptionalism and Spanish exceptionalism. And he was trying to make it like we're no better than anybody else. Because calling us better, saying that we're better, in some way demeans others. And the truth is that that's, it couldn't be further from the truth. The reason why those countries and those countrymen and women are flocking to this country is because of the exceptionalism that Pop, Ronald Reagan, reminded us of often. And that's why he'll always be my political hero. That's why he'll always be my figurative grandfather. Because I learned some of the greatest things in my life from my grandfather. And what I learned about who it is that we are as a people, as American people, I learned from him. I was calling myself a Reagan conservative before plenty of people in the industry, media or whatever, were calling themselves that. Yes, before Sean Hannity was calling himself a Reagan conservative, I was calling myself a Reagan conservative. It wasn't even part of the template or syntax before these guys started using it. I was using it. I always called myself a Reagan conservative because the ideas and the ideology of Ronald Reagan were paramount to any others in my book. And I think they still are. So I just wanted to say something special about him on the day of his death, June the 5th, 2004.
May you rest in peace. R.W.R.
It's also the same day that Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated.
Well, may you rest in peace, too.
Anyway.
JFK.
So I just wanted to bring that up. Okay, JC, did you hear about this story? Did you hear about this story with Walt Disney?
It better not be anything bad, because you can't say anything bad about Walt.
Oh, yes, you can.
Except maybe he was a racist?
Oh, no, I'm just talking about the Walt Disney Company. Today, Walt Disney says his programming will no longer be sponsored by junk food. The Walt Disney Corporation said today that it will become the first major media company to ban such ads for its TV channels, radio stations, and websites intended for children. That means kids watching Saturday morning children's shows, Disney's ABC network, will no longer see ads for fast foods and sugary cereals that don't meet the company's nutrition standards. The guidelines won't go into effect until 2015 because of existing advertising agreements. And guess who was there to applaud this game-changing...
Someone was going to have a job past November.
Slim, trim, and light skin herself.
Yes, that's right. Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama was there.
Was in the house.
She called the announcement a game changer in a statement.
Oh, yeah, it is a game changer.
She
but
said,
you know
quote.
What? They'll renege on that because y'all will be out of office.
Yeah, yeah. She says, quote, with this new initiative, Disney is doing what no major media company has ever done in the U.S., and what I hope every company will do going forward. Disney says its guidelines are aligned with federal standards to promote the consumption of fruits and vegetables and reduce the intake of sodium, sugar, and saturated fat.
Oh,
the kids' meals offered by traditional fast food chains may not meet the new advertising guidelines, even if the meals come with a healthy side order. And this is according to Leslie Goodman, Disney's Senior Vice President of Corporate Citizenship. What?
Wow.
There's a Senior Vice President of Corporate Citizenship?
I don't even know what.
What do they do? Anyway, that's because Disney will be assessing the restaurant's broader offerings and deciding whether to approve the ads. Quote, it's not just about reformulating a meal for a single advertising opportunity, the company will have to show it offers a broader menu of healthier options. They're regulating commercials now, ladies and gentlemen. Is this far-reaching government or not?
Most definitely.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Go for it.
Are they going to stop selling their fried dough and churros?
Their fried Oreos.
What are you going to sell to children? Now, think about this.
Fried butter.
think about this. This is going to impact the actors and actresses on the Disney Channel shows. Think about this. What are you going to sell to children on the Disney channels now? Just toys?
Fruit.
No. What's the name?
Younger.
Cereals are gone. Cereals are gone. Sugary cereals, they're not going to meet these
fruit
requirements. So what? How can you sell an apple?
Chiquita banana. It'll be like a Fruit of the Loom commercial.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. The advertising rates to make up for the loss of revenue in 2015 is going to skyrocket. So Chiquita Bananas is probably going to have to spend $1 million in ads to compensate for what it is that these other ads are going to lose, or what the other revenue Walt Disney loses.
Well, the bottom line is they're not even going to be in office.
For someone that actually uses cable advertising, that might be a good deal, because if they take out the commercials with all the sugary foods and so on and so forth as they plan, that'll leave a lot more spaces open for the local advertisers.
Okay, so, all right, that might be true. You're right. Local advertisers will have now an opportunity to advertise,
but
of course.
Local advertisers are going to want to pay less money, so they're not going to be able to make up for that
right.
money that they're getting from these
that
big from M&M's
absolutely
and
right.
McDonald's and
yeah,
Burger
can you,
King.
Wait a minute, hold on.
You can't.
Can you promote M&M's now?
No.
On Walt Disney?
No.
And their ads appeal to kids. Starburst?
Skittles?
Those things? How are they going to be able to advertise?
Are they? And how are you not going to allow commercials with that, but you're still going to sell unhealthy food at your parks?
No, wrong. They're actually doing that. Walt Disney has also decided that at their theme parks, they're no longer going to sell those items with high saturated fats as well.
They're going to lose money. No, they're not going to do this. They're being freaking ridiculous. Kids want to come and eat, go to the damn park, have a freaking ice cream, not a Froyo. They want an ice cream. They want cotton candy. They want a caramel apple. They want a funnel cake with sugary strawberry topping all over it.
Well, when this page refreshes, because it's a CBS.
When I go to Busch Gardens in Florida, I always go to this one particular place. And you know, in every theme park, there's always, depending on the size, some like old type candy
right,
shop.
Right.
You know, they have all these different candies from everywhere. They serve ice cream. They serve all this stuff. People aren't going to come.
You're right.
I mean, that's part of going. It's enjoyment.
Listen to what they said in the quote. For example, a complete meal under Disney guidelines could have no more than 600 calories, and a side dish no more than 200 calories. Without naming specific companies, Goodman says that there are ads currently running on Disney channels that would not meet the new standards.
Let me ask you a question.
No.
Have you ever watched, and you probably haven't, I know I haven't, I kind of watch it every year, so I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about me about it later. HGTV around Christmas time, they do Christmas at Disney.
Oh, do
they? They do a whole special on Christmas at Disney where for a whole hour they dedicate to the baking that Disney does on a daily basis around the holidays. Because they don't get snow down there. So they got to make up the Christmas somewhere.
Right.
Feeling. They have an army of pastry chefs. I mean, an army, a huge army, and a huge kitchen.
Is it sort of like a Taste of Disney? Like they do Taste of Buffalo, Taste of Chicago, like that kind of thing?
No. This is just what they do when they get ready for Christmas.
Okay.
Just for the holidays. And this is done every single day at Disney.
Disney advertises with, like, okay, every year around Christmas time, Disney will come out with a McDonald's or Burger King or whoever it is they advertise with series of cups.
Right.
And stuff like that. So, I mean, come on now. You're not, how much... This is ludicrous to me, because how much business are you losing?
Well, are you saying that they're just doing...
Unhealthy food is so much more popular than healthy food is. You can't make up for that difference.
The point is, that's a choice the parents should be making.
Yeah, but that's a fact. But what I'm hearing from you guys, and I'm almost certainly in agreement with Mary here. It's like that corporate sponsorship thing with Walt Disney. Like, you're not going to be able to sell like Madagascar 3 cups and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I'm not Madagascar's DreamWorks, but you're not going to be able to sell
that the same thing.
You're not
going to
have that product placement.
Cars.
Exactly, and you're
right.
And because that's their advertising, and then McDonald's advertises. They both they advertise for one another.
Right.
And then, you know, 7-Eleven. They do,
right.
Even in New York, those all this stuff is going to be, they're starting to regulate everything, and everybody's going to be affected. I don't understand how these businesses are going to stay in business. How are you going to do that if you're I mean, this is a huge change.
You think this is a rouge?
This is a huge change.
No, do you believe that this is a rouge? Because you said that, you know, they're not going to be in office.
They're not going to be in office, and so they...
The Obamas, you mean.
You know, I don't know what legality paperwork they had to fill out, or, you know, what they did, whether this still applies if the Obamas are not in office. Well, it can't be just because they're in office. Because you can't, it's against the law for the government
to come in and regulate. Well, look what it says. The company on Tuesday also introduced its Mickey Check, a seal of approval for nutritious foods sold in stores, online, and its parks and resorts. So what they're doing is literally, they are...
Yeah, now they're doing, it's a Mickey Check, just like they have on oatmeal, Quaker oatmeal, and all that, you know, healthier stuff.
Like Good Housekeeping
Seal. They have that
check,
that heart-healthy check, right? So
right,
you
right.
know that that's... the healthier choice may not be the healthiest.
Right, like a Disney stamp of approval.
Yeah, but there's not enough popularity with kids with healthy foods. There's not even enough choices.
And if they're going to go that route and you're a chef, then you better right now learn how to make some healthy.
And in order to eat healthy, parents need to prepare those foods. Now you're telling parents, you know, well, this is when you bring your kids here, this is what they're going to get. If they don't get it at home, they're going to get it here. Because you, as a parent, if you're working, your kids have after school activities, blah, 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 blah. By the time you get home, it's like stop at McDonald's, grab a couple of Happy Meals and a cheeseburger for yourself. Get home, eat, get the kids' homework done, get them in the bath, get them in bed. It's time for everybody to do everything all over again the next day. Parents don't have time, no one has time, to sit and prepare meals for several people in a healthier manner. It would not be as easy as it would be to make the other choice. And this country is lazy. And we just don't have the time. We spend more time working and traveling than anything else.
Yeah.
If you're not a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad, you ain't got time to be preparing no damn zucchini sticks and asparagus and
I hate those things
and salmon on the grill and you know
JC, you still there?
Chicken. I mean, nobody has time for this. It's just not realistic. Disney, get you're ridiculous. I'm not coming to your parks if I can't get no damn funnel cake and ice cream.
Did we lose JC?
I don't know.
JC, where are you?
Hello.
I think he put himself on hold, but I don't know whether or not he's still there or not.
Well, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I couldn't agree.
I want a damn Zeppeli and a fried Oreo.
Well, nonetheless, okay, anyway. Okay, so go over a little bit of the news. I want to go over that before we actually take another break. Romney's private email possibly hacked. Authorities are investigating that. MSNBC host Ed Schultz is saying that Scott Walker could be indicted. That's a completely insane. And let me say this last thing about Facebook. I've been dying to get this out. Okay? They are already predicting that Facebook is going to plummet to $20 a share. Did I or did I not predict it? Somebody come over here and pat me on the back. Anybody. Just somebody. Pat me on the back. I called it. I know I called it. You pat me on the back. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it.
Yeah, whatever.
Facebook will be a buy at $20 a share. This is coming from smartmoney.com. It says, Facebook is a buy at $20. Facebook Inc.'s stock offering may have killed the next wave of IPO stars and burned individual investors. But one veteran technology sector investor is willing to give the social media icon a second chance at $20 a share. Facebook, which now sits at 25.87 from a starting rate of $38, is worth a look, said Walter Price, the co-manager of Hoshin Chen. Of the $1 billion Alliance RCM Technology Fund, which has bested its technology category average, return on a 3, 5, and 10-year basis, according to investment researcher Morningstar Inc. Facebook is something we want long-term. But when you bring out the stock at $100 billion, that's a market valuation, by the way, and that's our price target in 3 or 4 years, if they execute well, what is your upside? If they execute well, they can go back to $100 billion in 3 to 4 years. Facebook market value as of Monday was about $75 billion, including restricted stock and unexercised options. At $20 a share, the company's market cap would be in the neighborhood of about $55 billion. The Alliance Fund received an allotment of the Facebook IPO, which went public at $38 on May 18th, and sold its shares at a profit, according to Price. The underwriters did a great job for the selling shareholders, he said. I'm sure they're all ecstatic. Read more on Facebook, catching for the time. Okay, that's another thing. Anyway, bottom line is, I was the first to tell you. I was the first to tell you that this was going to plummet. It was me. And I said, when it plummets, give Reese a month. I told you, give Reese a month, and Reese on the radio was going to be owning Facebook stock. Because I knew where this was going to go. I needed to plummet, 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 plummet. And then it'll rise, and we'll make a little bit of money off of it. It's something that I can watch closely, because it's Facebook. And we'll keep it in for about 6 months, maybe a year, and then we'll pull out, and we'll make a little bit of dough. That's what we're going to do. Trust me, we're going to make some money off this. We know what we're doing here at Reese on the Radio, even if my cohorts here don't believe me.
I ain't buying no damn Facebook stuff.
See, told you.
And not all you.
I'm buying it.
No, you ain't.
I know I'm buying it. You can't stop me. You don't run my money. You're going to have to get used to it. I'm buying some Facebook stock, but I'm going to wait until it plummets.
Who don't run that money?
You watch.
Who
wait
don't run
and
that
wait
money?
Until I do it. Everybody's gonna be saying after I do it, they're like, oh, that Reese, he knew what he was doing. Yes, I know what I'm doing. I know exactly what I'm doing. You didn't want to believe me? You guys never want to believe me. This is the reason why I said I am 80% right. You guys didn't want to believe me. I get arguments about this at work all the time. You don't know what you're talking about. He don't know nothing. He don't know what he's talking about. I know what it is that I'm talking about. I knew that this stock was going to plummet.
You were not alone.
I knew.
Everybody.
Thanks, Brett.
Every night in my dreams, I see you. I feel you. That is how I know you. Go on. Far across the distance and spaces between us, you have come to show.
A brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb dogs,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. She Levi over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk.
They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City.
Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
Hey.
Hey, there you go.
No, my phone was my phone cord. I have to get a new phone cord. I could hear you. I can hear you, but you can't hear me. I have to twist the phone. I go through phone cords like crazy. I have a landline, you know, cell phone. I have to hold the cord into the. It's crazy. You know, you have the coil cord that goes from the receiver to the phone.
Yes, I know it well. We've only got a couple of seconds.
The piece down next to the little tab that plugs in.
Yeah.
I put mine through hell always.
Ah, okay. Well, we'd like to thank Mr. Michael Lohan for calling the show. Of course,
Tops.
The father of Lindsay Lohan. Don't forget to give him a contact, give him a call at Intervention Allies. The number is 954-540-8857. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you for being with us. As usual, for Mary, why are you bugging? And for JC, the producer, I am Risa on the radio. I'm surprised that Kool-Aid man didn't call in. But we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow. Peace.
Peace.